You may be seated. Fantastic to have you here this morning. Church, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, New Life. I like Easter Sunday. It's a good day. Good day in church. Good day to be here this morning. Who enjoyed last week with you and Cameron from the Persecuted Church, the Open Doors Day? My goodness, that's been messing with my brain all week, if I'll be honest about it. Here we are. We have this freedom to preach the gospel, meet in church, gather together. And just that look at the persecuted church and what they endured. And, you know, we're in this little series at the moment of No Greater Love. That the love challenges us, it changes us, it causes us to do different things. And let me just put this on. Let me take you back to Christchurch. Sarah and I, young love, and Carlton Gore, the Carlton Hotel pub. Jordan Luck and the Exponents.
Hey.
Who remembers Jordan Luck?
Hey.
The Exponents, Dance Exponents before that. And they played the song, What Does...
I don't know.
What does love do this to me?
I don't know.
Yeah, we're gonna kick it in. It's going to kick in. Who remembers this? Come on. I had the cassette. Come on, I'm that girl. The cassette. Those are the good days. But what does love do?
What does love do this to me? I don't know.
Oh, that's another one. We're going to take over the church.
People
singing
in church.
Oh, so singing in church. Wow. This is taking us back. Okay, I had here. That's the miracle right there. Even along here. And that is true love. True love. Back in our younger Christchurch days. Yes, Pete?
You are betting way above your average.
Still am, Pete. Still am, mate. But kind of, what does love do to you? What does it force you to do? You know, I remember, you know, when Priscilla, you know, nursing student, hot nursing uniform, and we were in Christchurch, she had to do a placement down in Timaru, and I would drive to Timaru after my work just to hang out for a few hours, you know, with Priscilla. You know, love causes you to do crazy stuff, right? Causes you to drive miles, you know, just for a little hangout, a little smooch maybe, I don't know. What is love? What's the craziest thing you've done for love? Come on, what's the craziest thing you've done for love? Well, it's quiet now. Caitlin. You used to catch the wrong bus home. Oh, dang it. You're winning there, Neil. Well done. James.
I walked from McMurdo to Scott Base so I could make a phone call back to
Auckland. Oh, how far is that McMurdo to Scott Base?
Five miles in the freezing
cold. In the attack, through snow, blizzard, to make the phone call.
Come on. James, awesome.
It's love. It's love. It's crazy. Hey. Moved from Hungary to New Zealand. Come on, for love. Come on. It's this thing of love. There's this little crazy little story in the Bible of I'm getting my words mixed up today. What are we doing? Jacob. That's the guy. Get the right person. Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he went to hang out with his uncle Laban. And when he was working for Uncle Laban, there was this girl, Rachel, who he fell in love with. He thought, man, she's gorgeous. What are we going to do? And so he ends up negotiating this little deal with Uncle Laban that if you work for Uncle Laban for 7 years, imagine 7 years. That, I mean, that's further than a walk through the, you know, through the snow. 7 years he'd work for Uncle Laban if he could marry Rachel. And I love what it says in Genesis 29. It says this. So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his
love
for
for her. You know?
He had a bad.
He had a bad. 7 years. Because of his love. You know, love causes us to do crazy stuff. It causes us to endure. We can go through things if there's love in the equation, right?
Yes.
Yeah. If there's something we love, we can go through hardship. We can walk through the snow. We can drive to Timaru. we can make it happen. The funny part of it, well, not the funny part of the story, but he does the 7 years, and tricky old Uncle Laban gives him the older sister, Leah, to marry, and he says, oh, you did another 7 years. So Jacob, he does another 7 years before he can marry Rachel. So 14 years! Come on, guys, up your game. It's like, you know, 14 years to marry this one he loves. See, love changes everything. Thanks, Quinn. It's true. Amen. Love changes everything. And that ability, see, we can operate, we can endure if we're cheerful giving, if we're doing that. Let's shift to Easter, since it is Easter Sunday. Hebrews 12, verse 2, talking about Jesus on the cross. It says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Yeah.
For the joy set before him. Yeah. What's the joy set before him?
Us.
Yeah, it's us. Caused him to endure, to go through. You know, when we look at the cross, it was horrific. The pain and suffering, incredible. But he set his face like a flint. He set his face. I'm going to endure the cross. I am going through this. I'm choosing to do this because of the joy set before him. It's you and me. See, it's redemption. It's reconciliation. It's bringing you and me back to God.
Yeah,
he endured that. Do you know that you bring Jesus great joy? Jesus,
yes,
great joy. It's good. You bring Jesus great joy. He endured because of you. His love for you. You go through it. You do it again because of you. That's love. See, and I think Easter Sunday this morning, it's resurrection. It's hope attached. But it's a celebration of great joy. Great joy. This is the greatest day. See, because love changes everything. See, we can endure when there's love, when there's a greater purpose. You know, those of us who got kids, right? There's endurance required if you've got kids. You know, you put up a lot of stuff. You're changing nappies, up all night, driving all over town as they get older. We sacrifice for them. Why do we do that? Hopefully it's because we love them. There's love. We go, oh, I'll do anything for that little bundle of, you know. We sacrifice. Jesus at the Last Supper, and this is the verse around this season. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. This is Jesus at the Last Supper before he actually goes to the cross. He says, love each other as I have loved you. And he goes on to demonstrate his love. He says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You're my friends if you do what I command. And no greater love.
Yeah.
It's the love of God. He did it for us. See, the joy and the purpose, it's you and me.
Yeah.
You and me. Is why. You know, Jesus, he laid down his life. You know, he didn't have to. He didn't have to do it. I think there's this beautiful moment in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, before Jesus goes to the cross, he has the Last Supper with the disciples, and he says, look, guys, I just want to spend some time.
Yep.
And he gathers them together, he goes out to the Garden of Gethsemane. And there's this incredible wrestle in Mark 16:32. We can read about it. He went to a place called Gethsemane. Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." Took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. You know, it talks about like sweat drops of blood. He knows what he's about to go through. He's overwhelmed. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if it be possible, this hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. But yet not my will, but yours be done." And we find that he goes back and forth. He has this interaction with God, this wrestle with God. You know, do I have to do this? Is there any other way? How has this? And he, three times he wrestles with it. And then he comes back to this conclusion of not my will, but yours be done. He's going, okay, I'm reconciled in myself to what needs to happen for love. It's this decision that because of love, this is actually all going to work out better in the end if I go through this. And he comes to this decision of, like, I'm choosing to go through this pathway. And he goes to the cross willingly. And he goes to the cross as a savior instead of a martyr. So he goes to the cross, choosing, saying, I'm choosing to go through this. For the joy set before him, he endures the cross. He sacrifices. He lays down his life. You know, he could have called down legions of angels.
Yeah.
He could have gone, okay, boys and girls, you know, well, that's enough, thanks. I'm out of here. You know, it's too much. I can't bear it. But it was this incredible love,
amen,
that pinned him to the cross.
Yeah.
This love for you and me. And he goes as a cheerful giver. Not resentfully, but he goes in this place of love. It's a wrestle, but he makes this decision. See, there is incredible power when we actually operate our love, right?
Yeah, so true.
When we choose love, when we choose to operate our love, incredible power attached to it.
Yes.
See, because so often we think, you know, that Christianity, that the gospel, that salvation is free. And in one way it is. It's the free gift of God. We receive free. But let me tell you, there's never a free meal. Nothing is ever free. The only reason that we get something free is that somebody else has paid for it.
Yeah.
Right? Somebody else has gone and paid the cost for us.
Yeah.
Said, hey, look, I'll take care of it for you. Don't worry about it. I got you. It's all good. Come on. It's free. But somebody else has paid that cost. It's always a cost. Jesus says, look, I'm going to pick up the tab.
Woo! Yes! Amen!
Yeah. Come on!
That's amen!
Right.
He says, I'm going to pay the cost. I'm going to cover this.
Right. Amen!
And grace, salvation, it's free because of what Jesus said.
Amen! Yes.
While we receive it free, it was incredibly expensive. That was incredibly costly. No such thing as cheap grace. It's expensive grace. Costly grace. We just don't have to pay it. Jesus paid the price. He says, I've got this. I'll lay down my life for your freedom. I will cover you. I will cover you. The tricky thing about that is that then he goes on and says, do the same. Tells us to carry each other's burden, Galatians 6, 1-2. And in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. See, carrying one another's burdens requires some heavy lifting, right? We go, hey, look, I'll carry it for you. I'll take the weight. See, true love always requires sacrifice.
Wow.
True love always requires a cost. True love always requires laying down your own purpose, your own agendas, and saying, I choose to do this. See, forgiveness. When you choose to forgive someone, what are you saying? See, there's still a cost, but when you forgive someone, you say, hey, look, that's okay. I got it. I'll absorb that cost myself. You don't owe me anything. It's all good. We're all square. It's okay. And that's where friendship is formed. It's where love flourishes. In that ability to say, I will pay the cost. I'll cover the cost. Little article in the New York Times, in the recession, there's multi-millionaire. And his income, or his net worth, went from 20 million to 8 million. And so he was a little bit financially strapped. And so he went and talked to his financial advisors. And they told him, mate, you just need to stop spending. And so he went away. Right, I just need to stop spending. Came back a month later. The advisors, you haven't stopped spending. What's going on? You're still, money's leaking out. It's going out all the time. And you say, you can't, you can no longer afford the lifestyle that you've become accustomed to. So the accountant's going, look, mate, you've got to sort it out. And he goes back and says, well, it's not actually me. It's my wife who's doing all the spending. So the advisors go to him, well, you're going to have to tell your wife it's time to stop spending. He comes back, I couldn't possibly do that. If I do that, she will definitely leave me. See? There's no love. It's not a relation based on love, because there was unwillingness to sacrifice. Not in it together. See, we all enjoy the thing of love, the idea, the concept of love, if you've watched Married at First Sight. Not recommending the program, but very interesting watch. But are we actually willing to sacrifice for love? See, sacrifice is not a concept that everyone really enjoys. In fact, most of us will do everything we can to avoid sacrifice. But sacrifice is the Christian way. It's countercultural, this idea of putting other people first. There's power in it, the way of sacrifice. Hebrews 9:28 says, Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. It's the way of sacrifice. The Jesus way is the way of sacrifice. I'm sorry, people. I wish it was, you know. Jesus lived an incredible sacrificial life. You know, when the disciples, you know, they're fighting over who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom, who's going to get the prime seats, who's going to get sit there. Yep. Jesus in Matthew 20:28 says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He's saying, hey, this is how it works. Come as God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, but I'm placing myself in this position of servanthood, and I'm giving my life as a ransom for you. Let me just finish this morning with this picture, which I think kind of sums up. Yeah. So this is a picture of a mass shooting in America, where all mass shootings happen, apparently. And it kind of, there was a photographer in the school at that time. And the picture is of the mum, the mother, with her daughter. And it's this decision to say, I will cover you. This decision to say, I've got you. I am willing to lay down my life so that you may go free. It's a powerful image this morning. On Easter morning, that ability to say, I'm putting someone else first because of love. I'm choosing to stay. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to hide. There's sounds of gunshot. There's chaos going on. There's people running everywhere. This mum says,
will cover you, even if it means laying down my life. That's what love is. When there's danger, not putting ourselves first, but because of this deep love, putting the other person first. Greater love has no man. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life, one's friends. Why does love do this to me? Well, let's flip that. What's love doing to you? What's love doing to you? What weird things is love making you do at the moment? A little bit craziness. Causing you to drive across town, pick that person up. Causing you to look after someone. Causing you to care. See, that's the sort of Christianity I want to be a part of. Let me finish, last verse. Matthew 10, verse 8, Jesus is sending out his disciples, he's commissioning them, he said, guys, you got this. And just this little command, it's just this little thing that says, freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received, freely give. And I think if we could capture that, that when I look at Easter and think of what Jesus Christ has done for us, That liberation, that freedom, that ability to choose, that ability to decide, that we operate out of this place of love. And say, God, I thank you for the incredible freedom, the incredible love that you've poured out on me. And therefore, out of that, we would operate with love. There's the joy set before us. And with that motivation, we can endure. Maybe we just stand as we finish this morning.